people so often say, well, let's just help her get through her menopause and then she can get back to work and she can be happily married again and she can whatever. Like, it doesn't work.
Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life. Hey, it's Lisa. I don't know about you, but when I was a much younger woman, I wistfully viewed menopause as a distant, magical land where life settles into a stable rhythm and you're not tossed about on the waves of hormone fluctuations, where you're always calm and never overly emotional, where your body becomes a more genial and gentle place to exist. Well, as a woman who's been pushing through the jungles of perimenopause for the past several years, I can honestly say that the closer I get to this magical land, the more it's looking a lot like Death Valley. I keep finding myself asking, is this just me hating the sound of everyone chewing and forgetting my kids' names and sleeping less than I did during college finals week? Or is this just perimenopause? Do you ask yourself similar questions? Well, I can guarantee that half of all of the people on planet Earth can probably relate. And yet everyone seems to be looking around and asking sisters, friends, doctors, why don't we know more about this? And you know what I heard from my own mother and grandmother about this time of life? Crickets. Well, luckily, much like my moods, things are changing. We're starting to talk more openly about the journey through perimenopause and menopause, and I'm here for it. That's why we're crossing the pond today to speak with Dr. Louise Newson. Dr. Newson is a physician, a menopause specialist, and a mom to three daughters. She's also on the UK's Menopause Task Force. The Task Force, guys. She's a gold standard resource for women's health, and you're in for a masterclass on the worlds of perimenopause and menopause. Dr. Newson has dedicated her life to helping women. But as it turns out, she even ends up helping taxi cab drivers from time to time.
The other day I was in a taxi in London and I was talking to somebody on the phone, and the taxi driver, when I went to pay him, he said, you know, you were talking about menopause. Do you know much about it? Because my wife's really struggling. And I was like, yeah, I do actually. Here's my card. Yeah. So yeah, it's everywhere, isn't it? So I think it's one of those things that the more we talk about it, the better, actually.
So let's talk. And in talking about menopause, we're going to tackle its biggest myth, that we just have to pause normal life while we get through this phase of physical, mental, and even emotional upheaval. See the poor taxi driver's wife as Exhibit A. But as Dr. Newson will tell you today, we don't have to suffer. We don't have to just grit our teeth and endure the change. We don't have to be miserable, and we don't have to be martyrs. These, my friends, are myths. But the only way to bust this myth and others that have snuck their way into our world is to understand what is truly happening during perimenopause and menopause, what solutions are out there, and how to advocate for ourselves. And in the spirit of hormone fluctuations, you may hear things in this episode that will make you happy, some things that might inspire you, and some things that might make you want to start a revolution. So settle in. You're in for a wild ride known as women's health. Here's Dr. Newson, and she's going to start with the most fundamental myth regarding menopause, which is that it's all about a woman's reproductive tract.
If we look at the words, actually, they are very frustrating because they don't really explain what's going on. Yeah. So menopause means stop in menstrual cycle. But actually, if you look up the definition, it has to be a year since a woman stopped her menstrual cycle to be officially menopausal. Like, why is it a year? Yeah. It doesn't make sense. I'm sure most of your listeners would hopefully agree that women do not need or should not be defined by whether they have periods or not. It just seems madness. Yeah. So for somebody to say, well, you can have this condition a year after your last period.
Right.
Like, does that mean you can't go to a doctor if you're struggling? Does that mean if it's 11 and a half months, you have to be ignored?
Yeah.
And is it only a day then? And then what happens after that day? Does something else happen to us? It just really doesn't make sense. But then if you think of perimenopause, peri is a medical term for around the time of. So it means something's happening around the time of the menopause. So it actually like usually means something's happening before the period stopped completely. And that's what then thinking about what is it? What is really happening in our bodies? What is making our period stop? And obviously, many people will know, is because our hormones that help with our egg production, help with releasing the egg with our periods, are produced from our ovaries. So we've got three main hormones, estradiol, progesterone, testosterone, made in our ovaries, but they're also made elsewhere, including our brains. When those levels decline, they reach a critical low amount, and that stops the periods. And so that's where the link with periods has been. But for most people, the periods don't just stop. The hormones don't just stop and get low overnight. They have this chaotic time in the perimenopause when hormone levels can go up, down, very, very, very chaotic, gradually going down, but causing chaos. And many years ago, some of the doctors in the Victorian times would write around about this crisis time in a woman's life. And they were describing perimenopause, and it really is, for many women, not all, a crisis time, because that's when symptoms can be actually more severe than during menopause, when hormone levels are low and stay low forever. But because people are still having periods, periods might be regular, they might be irregular, they might be light, they might be heavy, they might be scanty. But we have to remember, lots of women don't even have periods. They might have had a hysterectomy. They might have had a marina coil or used contraception. So how do you know? Right. And then lots of people get really highly stoned, like, do I stop my contraception for a year and see if I have a period? But then What happens if I have my period after 11 and a half months? Do I have to start another year? Like, it's just rubbish, actually. So that's why this labelling of women, I think, is not helpful. Let's be more helpful as doctors and say, what is it that's happening? Well, your hormone levels are changing and reducing. So you have a low amount of estrogen, or you have a low amount of progesterone, or you have a low amount of testosterone. And we always need to give it a whole new term because, you know, when someone has underactive thyroid gland, hypothyroidism, it's saying exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So if I said to you, you've got an underactive thyroid gland, you'd say, oh, so I don't have much thyroxine. How do I get thyroxine? Because if I say to you, oh, you're menopausal, you'll go, well, it's about my periods. Do you see what I mean?
So, yes, yeah.
And that's where the confusion has been for so long.
Okay.
Because then everyone thinks it's only about our reproductive tract. It's only about our ovaries. And it's not, actually, because these hormones affect every single cell in our bodies.
Myth number one, menopause is just about periods in the womb. Nope. Let me stop you and just underline what Dr. Newson said. Menopause and perimenopause are not train stations you wait at to see if your period comes or not. They are complex and sometimes turbulent entries into a perpetual state of severely low hormone levels. Erratic periods are just a symptom of a larger issue. So that's one basic myth that has been fueled by inappropriate and insufficient language. Another myth we need to debunk is what perimenopause and menopause look like.
I was on a main street in Birmingham city centre in the middle of England with a sign to say, what is menopause? And we stopped people with a camera. I was doing something for BBC and asked people, what does menopause mean to you? And 90% of people just said flushes and sweats. So a lot of people do get flushes and sweats, but about a third of women don't. Like, I am definitely a menopausal woman and I've never had a hot flush in my life. The other thing is this whole menopause transition. Like, people talk about, we'll get through the menopause, or I've had my menopause. Mm-hmm. It's rubbish, because menopause, like I say, is hormone levels are low and they stay low forever.
Yeah.
So we're always going to be menopausal, whether we have symptoms or not, whether we have flushes or not. We will always be menopausal. And I think when people realize that more, people will then take it more seriously. And people so often say, well, let's just help her get through her menopause.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she can get back to work and she can be happily married again. And she can,
right.
Whatever. Like, it's just, it doesn't work. I mean, some people have terrible symptoms in the perimenopause and then they might abate as the body adjusts to not having those hormones. But they still have the health risks of not having hormones, which is really important because we live so much longer as women compared to how we did 100 years ago. So you know, as a doctor, I want to try and keep my patients healthy. I want to try and reduce risk of diseases. Mm-hmm. So if we can look at, like, what do these hormones do in our body? Yes, they regulate periods. But what else do they do? What do they do in our brain, in our heart, in our bones? Oh, they keep them really healthy. They keep the brain active and working. They keep the, you know, cholesterol down. They help the heart to function. Oh, right. So if we don't have them, hang on. What? Oh, that's why dementia is so high in women. That's why we've got more osteoporosis as we age. It's thinking about those hormones in a different way and thinking about menopause in a different way.
Myth number two, menopause just means hot flashes and perimenopause means erratic periods. This is really a conversation about hormones and how our bodies, not just our wombs, behave with and without them. So how do they behave when hormone levels become volatile and eventually drop forever? Well, that's where another myth often creeps in, and that is that we all experience menopause in the same way.
It's a great question, and the quick answer is we don't really know, because a lot of people, when you say, are you menopausal? They'll say, no, I've been through my menopause. Of course, I don't have symptoms. But then you say, what's your sleep like? Do you have muscle and joint pains? Do you have low mood? Oh, yes, but that's because I'm 65 now, and not really realizing. But we did a survey of nearly 6,000 women and found that the commonest symptoms of those women who knew they were perimenopausal or menopausal were symptoms affecting our brain. So they were symptoms such as brain fog, fatigue, memory problems, low mood, anxiety, reduced self-esteem, low self-worth, reduced libido. And you can see quickly why so many women are misdiagnosed as having depression or a psychiatric disorder, because it's about the brain. And these hormones are made in our brain, they work in our brain. Some people have physical symptoms, so palpitations can be very common, heartburn, indigestion, dry eyes, dry burning mouth, urinary symptoms, cystitis, dry skin, hair loss, texture of the hair or nails can change. Again, those are very common symptoms as well. But people can have more obscure symptoms, if you like ringing in the ears, pins and needles, restless legs. Not everyone gets every symptom. Some people only get a few. Some people get some, and then they change with time. You know, we are all different, and we respond to the changing hormones differently as well.
Not only are there dozens and dozens of symptoms associated with perimenopause and menopause, but not all women will experience them the same way. No wonder we've been walking around dazed and confused for generations. We've adopted the myth that there's only one path through menopause. But knowledge is power, so understanding what the symptoms are, even if our symptoms are different than those around us, can help us navigate the transition better. And speaking of symptoms, Dr. Newson just touched on another myth, and that's that the most common symptoms of menopause are always physical. Wrong. In fact, a study done by the National Institutes of Health found that 70% of women experience psychological challenges during menopause, ranging from irritability to lack of concentration to anxiety, depression, and even cognitive problems. 70%, folks. In fact, I want you to listen to this shocking story of one of Dr. Newson's patients who came into her with severe depression as a result of menopause.
There's so many stories, and they're often quite heartbreaking, of people that I see. But one that really sticks with me is a lady who came to see me, and she'd been under many psychiatrists for many years, and she'd reached out to me really in desperation, and she had given up her job as a teacher. She'd become housebound with her crippling anxiety and depression for 6 years. And she came to see me. And I hadn't realized at the time, thankfully, that she'd written her suicide note, because she'd said to herself, if I can't get help, I can't carry on. And she'd said to her psychiatric team many times, I think this is related to my hormones. And they said, no, you're just fixated on hormones. It's not. She was in her 50s and she had some very dark thoughts, obviously, but she had very low mood, anxiety, you know, and some memory problems. But she also had really awful vaginal soreness, dryness. She had urinary tract infections. She had very dry skin. She had palpitations. And I'd never seen somebody who had been so mentally unwell that had improved with hormones. So I said to her, well, you're definitely perimenopausal, so let me give you some hormones and let's see what happens. And I gave her estradiol, progesterone, and testosterone, and some vaginal hormones. and thought, well, I don't think her mental health will improve, but I'm sure I have symptoms. And then I got an email from her a few weeks actually later to say, I just want to say thank you, you've saved my life. And I've now known her for 9 years. And it's been an amazing journey because her mental health improved, especially with the testosterone. She's off her lithium, she's off her olanzapine, she's off her antidepressants, and she's really enjoying life with her husband, which she never thought she would do again. And so, you know, it's one thing making someone feel a bit better or sleep better or, you know, reduce their palpitations or whatever, but actually to help their mental health is the most rewarding thing I can do as a doctor. It absolutely is.
Menopause is not limited to physical symptoms. In fact, the impacts of low hormones can be just as difficult, if not disastrous, to women's mental health. That's not to say that all mental health issues are hormonal, clearly not. But Dr. Newsom is saying that we need to be aware of the psychological impacts of menopause and perimenopause. So the next question is obvious. What can we do about it? This is where the conversation with Dr. Newsom started to turn for me, because it dismantled that myth I've been led to believe that we just have to tough menopause out like our mothers and grandmothers have done for millennia. In talking with Dr. Newsom, it became clear that we don't have to enter the transition into menopause wide-eyed and terrified, and our struggles don't have to be met with pity and shoulder shrugs. There are options available to us. The first option Dr. Newsom suggests is HRT, or hormone replacement therapy. So the big question that everyone wants to know, what can you do for these symptoms? What are your options?
If I said to you, oh, do you know what, Lisa, you've got low iron, what would you then say to me as a doctor?
Okay, well, then should I take an iron supplement?
Yeah. How much iron do I take? What do I do?
Yeah.
So if I say to you, you've got low estrogen, you should probably say, well, what estrogen do I need?
Yeah.
If I say you're menopausal, people go, right, so what supplement do I need? What hair shampoo do I need? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
This is why we need to redefine what menopause is, of course.
Let me just pause here for a minute and address what any woman over 40 might be thinking at this point, and that's, but didn't I hear that HRT is unsafe? If you're like me, you've heard lots of rumors, including the claim that estrogen therapies cause breast cancer, and you've thought, well, okay, I'll never do that. But that's where Dr. Newsom helped dispel several myths surrounding hormone replacement therapy and what it looks like today.
The hormones that we give now and prescribe are very different to the hormones that were prescribed 25 years ago that had all this bad publicity.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
That's really important for people to know. So the hormones that were used in this big study, the WHI Women's Health Initiative study that came out in 2002, were using estrogens from pregnant horses. So pregnant horses' urine, contains lots of hormones. Of course it does, but not all of them are hormones that we need as women. So they were different metabolically in the body. And then they used a synthetic type of progesterone called medoxyprogesterone acetate, which has been chemically altered. So it's not the same as our own natural progesterone. They reported the results to the press and the medical press before they analyzed them properly. But when they analyzed them properly, they found that this risk of breast cancer was only there if people had the synthetic progesterone as well, and it wasn't statistically significant. They found that women who only had the estrogen part of HRT had a 22% lower incidence of breast cancer. But these women had a lower incidence of osteoporosis. Some of the women had a lower risk of bowel cancer as well, and also heart disease reduced. But moving forward 22, 23 years, we use natural hormones. So they are exactly the same as the hormones we produce when we're younger. So they fit onto the receptors properly. They work the same biological way in the body. And that's really important, actually, when you want to replace like with like. So these hormones have the benefits that they improve symptoms, but they also reduce risk of future disease like heart disease, osteoporosis, diabetes, dementia, autoimmune diseases, Parkinson's disease, cancers, because they're biologically active in our body. So that's why, you know, for the majority of women, we should be thinking about hormones.
Yes, giving women horse urine was a bit of a misstep. And synthetic progesterone, not a great idea either. But even with those not-so-ideal versions of our hormones, rates of cancers, heart disease, and osteoporosis dropped among participants in the study. Now that we have bioidentical hormones and 20 years more research and experience under our belts, the vistas for women's health are looking much brighter. The benefits of HRT are no myth. Unfortunately, the idea that all women have access to it is.
If you want iron, you should be allowed to have it. If you want hormones, you should be allowed to have them. But we know globally only about 5% of menopausal women are prescribed hormones. I mean, I spend most of my life either angry or sad, actually, because it's 2025 and we're having these conversations which should never be happening. I sometimes think if I was from outer space and I just came and landed on this planet and I was told, right, half the population will have a hormone deficiency that lasts forever. One in two will have osteoporosis. A lot of them will have dementia, and most of them will die from heart disease or dementia. We've got a treatment that's really cheap. It's really effective. It reduces risk of all these diseases, and it helps half the population to feel better. Yet the minority of women are getting it. Like, is that all right? Is that fair? You would just go, look, this isn't right. Like, how? The biggest thing for me is the injustice of not being able to choose.
Yeah.
I'm not coming onto your program to say everyone needs to take hormones. I do yoga most mornings. I don't expect people to do that. I don't smoke. I don't judge people if they smoke or not. You just need to know that doing yoga is good for you. Smoking is not so good for you. But you can choose. We can choose most things in life. We can choose what we eat. We can choose our relationships. We can choose what time we go to bed. But so many women cannot choose to have their hormones back. And that is the thing that really saddens me the most, because there are risks of not having hormones. And for so long, we've been talking about, what are the risks of taking hormones? What are the risks? Actually, the risks are with synthetic hormones, including contraception, that are given out by the bucket loads to women. But once they need some low-dose natural hormones, the whole world seems to be in uproar. And I don't quite get it.
Now, obviously, Dr. Newson is a huge proponent for HRT, but she is also quick to admit that that is not your only option.
If people are looking and saying, look, I don't want HRT for various reasons, then they should be looking at what ways or what things can they do to reduce their risk of a heart attack and you know, improve their brain strength. So it might be taking a good quality fish oil with vitamin D, for example. It might be looking at calcium in their diet, rather than just going to their local like health food shop and buying menopause labeled supplement. So it's just like being really educated and careful what you're taking. Try and get as much information as possible and talk to other people, because everyone's very quick to judge when it's about hormones. And, you know, it's about your choices and decisions, but knowing that any decision you make, you can change your mind. If you start taking hormones, most of us take them forever, but you don't have to. Or if you've never taken them, you're never too old or it's never too late to consider them. And also thinking really holistically and really realistically about your future health. Like, what else can you do to improve your brain strength? How much more exercise can you do? How much more calcium can you have in your diet? How much more fresh fruit and vegetables can you have? How much more sleep? How much more relaxation can you do? So it's looking at everything together. There's no point just taking hormones and thinking you never have to exercise again or you never have to eat a healthy meal again. Of course, you have to do everything together.
Whether you want to try hormone replacement therapy or not, Dr. Newson's point is that women should be entitled to options. But not all women have that luxury. And not all women have doctors that have hormone changes on their radar. We assume that all doctors will take menopause into account when treating us. But unfortunately, that too is a myth. That's why the most important thing we can do, regardless of which route we take for our health, is to find a doctor who will use a bigger picture approach to our well-being so that we aren't misdiagnosed or dismissed.
Women are now being medicalized in other ways. They're being given medical treatments for their symptoms. So antidepressants, painkillers, osteoporosis drugs, dementia drugs, blood pressure lowering drugs, statins. And often it's a gynecologist or OBGYNs that look after menopause. And a lot of them are great, but a lot of them still focus just on the womb. You know, so when you start thinking about preventing osteoporosis, they're like, oh, we're not bone specialists. And so then, you know, medicine's very siloed. people just look at one area of the body instead of the whole person. So we can have more than one thing wrong with us. And that's where having a doctor who can see someone very holistically is really important. In medicine, the most important thing, without a shadow of a doubt, is listening to patients, actually. Yeah. And I know that sounds quite trivial, but I'm sure it will resonate to a lot of your listeners because so many women are not listened to. So many women are just told it's in your mind, it's because you're stressed, it's because you've got children, it's because you can't cope, it's because da-da-da-da. They never say that to men. And actually, a lot of the diagnosis is in the history, but doctors are busy. Doctors don't always ask the right questions, or they don't listen, or they don't piece together. You know, a lot of people are diagnosed, as I said before, clinical depression, but things like fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, autoimmune diseases, when no one's really considered their hormones. So I think the first question doctors and women should be asking is, could any of this be related to my hormones? If someone's coming to me with low mood, reduced motivation, of course they could be clinically depressed. But if they've also got dry skin, dry eyes, and get urinary tract infections, then thinking about that person holistically, it's more likely to be related to their hormones than having a psychiatric condition. But if I never ask about their skin, they're never going to think to tell me, my skin's been really dry and itchy because they come because they've got low mood. You see what I mean? So that's where having that knowledge to ask the right questions is crucially important.
Finding a physician that will take the time to ask the right questions, dig beneath the surface, and look at your health holistically is essential. And if you already have that doctor, tell your girlfriends about them. Good doctors are a lot like appetizer platters and episodes of The Bachelor. They're meant to be shared. Now, if you haven't found that perfect doctor yet, or would like to improve your visits with your current doctor, Dr. Newsom says that there are some things we can do. She's even created a free app to help us with our visits. It's called the Balance App.
So one of the reasons I set up Balance App is that people can do their symptoms and create a health report, which will have the symptoms listed on them and where you've ticked, whether you don't have those symptoms or they're affecting you mildly, moderately or severely. Because then you can go to your doctor with this list of symptoms filled out. Because as a doctor, I want to spend my time making the diagnosis and talking about treatment options. Rather than asking loads of questions. And so if someone comes with this list, I can quickly scan down it and go, oh, okay. You know, I saw a lady this morning in my clinic who told me her only symptom that she had was poor sleep. She's filled out our symptom questionnaire. And I said, but you get quite a lot of cystitis and urinary tract infections and dry skin. And she went, oh, yeah, I do actually. But she was only talking about one of her things. So it just helps the clinicians to build this picture if we've got this symptom questionnaire. And it can help because I don't know about you, but I feel quite nervous going to see my doctor. I think, oh, they're really busy. Yeah. They've got far more important things to do than help me. And so you get a bit short and you can't remember everything. So the more that you've got prepared, the more that you can get more out of your consultation as well.
Sometimes I joke and say, do women have to do everything? Well, when it comes to advocating for ourselves, then yes, we do. We have to ask questions. We have to bring data. We have to focus the talking points. We have to request options. And we can't settle for healthcare providers that don't listen. You know, if it sounds like I'm seconds away from waving a banner while belting, do you hear the people sing? Well, you know, you're not wrong or that far off. It is a hot button for me, to say the least. Ideally, we'd all have doctors that are intuitive about our health and changing hormones. But if not, we can help them along by bringing a history of our symptoms with us to appointments. We've covered a lot of menopause myths today, everything from menopause being just about periods to worrying that HRT causes cancer to assuming that all doctors will treat us comprehensively. But I hope we've busted the biggest myth of them all, that the journey into perimenopause and menopause has to be hard or unpleasant or lonely. We are meant to thrive, not just survive in this time of life. So let's start by recognizing that decreasing hormones will affect every cell in our bodies and being sensitive to the fact that we are likely to experience both physical and mental symptoms. Next, we can consider hormone replacement therapy as a safe and effective way to not only treat our symptoms, but to maintain our overall health. If that course is not the right one for you, that's fine. But whatever we choose, we need to make sure we're being holistic about wellness. And finally, we've got to advocate for ourselves. We can use an app like Dr. Newsom's Balance app to keep track of our symptoms so we can give our doctors a clearer picture of what's going on. So join me on this journey, folks. Pack up your random chin hairs, your night sweats, your weight gain, your UTIs, and your brain fog as we foray into this land of menopause. But don't plan on holding on to that baggage for long, because the horizons of middle age can actually be magical. And that's no myth.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio, hosted by Lisa Valentine Clark. This episode was produced by Erica Price, with help from Becca Hurley-Lung, Blake Morse, and Kenny Mears, with music and post-production by Gracie Davis. Dr. Louise Newsom is a physician, women's hormone specialist, and member of the UK government's Menopause Task Force. She was also an award-winning doctor, educator, and author, committed to increasing awareness and knowledge of permamenopause and menopause. Links to her work, including her podcast and the Balance app, as well as to our newsletter, will be in our show notes. Also, be sure to check out the Council of Moms, now available wherever you get your podcasts. As always, thanks for your messages. We read them all, and thanks for listening.
Tired of feeling overwhelmed by conflict in your life? Learn the skills to confidently handle any conflict on BYU Radio's new original podcast, Conflict Coach. Certified mediator Dr. Emily Taylor coaches real people through real conflicts in their lives, from family struggles to work disputes, neighborhood conflicts to in-law disagreements. Each episode of Conflict Coach with Dr. Emily Taylor gives you strategies to find the root of a conflict, identify solutions, and create positive change. Tune into Conflict Coach on BYU Radio or wherever you get your podcasts.